Lord, I just want to thank you for this man. Lord, I just want to thank you that he's so passionate about you. He just releases life and happiness wherever he goes. And he's just so passionate about the kingdom. And he's such a great blessing to us as a church. I want to pray today that as he speaks, that we would have open ears, open hearts. And some of the things that he says will really make a difference to us as we go from here. Amen.
Amen. What a wonderful time of worship. Tina always blesses me whenever she leads. We were in Nepal as part of a team there, and she led a worship seminar for probably 400 or 500 ladies who are doing things all over Nepal, local ladies running different ministries. And as she started to teach and as she started to play, it was like a wave going around the room as people were touched by the Holy Spirit and responded in different ways, from fairly violent shrieks to other things, and people were really touched, and it was a great encouragement. What I want to ask you to do for her is I want you all to make a commitment, if you will, to pray for her and for her husband and for her family this week. Dave mentioned earlier, or somebody mentioned the prayer meeting before, about the pressure on the leadership team and on anyone who basically stands up and does anything. There seems to be a sort of an attack of the enemy on them. And I think for worship leaders particularly, and I really ask you just to make a commitment, maybe each day this week, to pray for her and her ministry and her family, and also for Kerry and her ministry and her family and others involved in worship. And I think we'll all be enriched as a result. I was reading something this week. It was about a chap called Peter Horobin, which I think is a wonderful name. I think I'd call myself Habakkuk Horobin if I could. That's anyway, he founded LL Ministries. But in 1933, he was offered an Alvis... in 1970, he was offered a 1933 Alvis sports car, which had been vandalized. And he decided, he snapped that up. And he was in the process of renovation. And he found out that the sort of main frame chassis thing had bent. And so he was thinking about this. And he really felt he could actually straighten out the chassis and he could actually renovate the car and it would be fine. A little bit later, he was asked to go and pray for an old lady. And he was praying about the ministry opportunity. And he thought, I have no idea what I'm going to do. How am I going to pray for this lady so that she can be healed? And he tied the two things in his mind. You know, I can fix a 1933 Alvis sports car, but how do I actually go out and fix an old lady who's sick? And he really prayed a lot about this. And he felt that he wanted to really look into this whole area of healing in more detail before God. And he started to pray about that whole issue. And then God led him to form LL Ministries, which started in 1986. They now have 270 full-time workers teaching people about ministry, teaching people about healing, and teaching people about how to pray for people to be free from demonic oppression. And they have 350 volunteers. And it really struck me that out of a small event, somebody saying, do you want a 1933 Alvis sports car? And then him just pursuing that whole thing with the old lady, something so big has been formed. And, you know, in 1986, that was only the other day, I remember it quite well. And I just thought, what a challenge that is for the rest of us. When we start talking about the things, the visions that God's put on our heart, yes, they can come about. If you sit down with Dave and say, Dave, you know, your vision for the church, what is it? What's your vision for Marlow? He shared a lot of what that is. But there's a real probability that it's going to happen. And for each of our lives, when we decide we're going to push into God, then amazing things can happen. Now, before I continue, I want to ask Bruce and Sue to stand up. Now, Sue has proven the truth of what I'm about to prophesy by what she's just been doing. But last week you both stood up and did some things. Bruce, as you were standing here, you were sharing. I saw you, it must be in spiritual eyes, you physically grew and you became more broad. You became really quite, and then I really felt what the Lord was saying to me was you have very deep roots, that you represent real strength, and that's very important for the church where it is at the moment. And then Sue, you stood up as well, and I've always had a great respect for you and the things you've done. And I think for both of you, you've been through a journey over the last couple of years as you've had lots of kids, and you've just generally sort of worked out where you stand in life. And I just feel for you that there are seeds and there are dreams and there are visions which God's put in your heart over the years, and now it's springtime. So I just want to bless you with those. Thank you. Right. Just so you appreciate that it's not just people like Peter Horobin who create these incredible ministries, but it's each individual and people here who God speaks to or puts something in their heart and then they push into it. I want to have a testimony from Anne Hanford. She shared about going out doing the treasure hunting last week. And I don't really want her to tell us about her experience as she is doing that. I want her to explain why she did it. I mean, she has two daughters who go to Sir William Borlase. Lots of people know her. And she's going out on the street and stopping people and saying some things. I mean, hugely embarrassing for the daughters. But, I mean, also hugely embarrassing for her, really. So I just wanted to know, why did you do that then?
Well, it wasn't any kind of big, major kind of God spoke to me and told me to do it and off I went with really any kind of major way. Because obviously people were doing quite a lot of treasure hunting several months ago. And I just remember one time Karen and Dave and probably some others came back and they spoke. And I just thought, God, you know, I'd really like to do that. And it's a while since I'd done any of that kind of thing. I had done in the past, but I hadn't done anything kind of for us. I'd really like to do that. So I thought, well, next time they're going to go out, I'll do it. And so I came to church late one day, as we often do, and normally people are asked at the beginning of the service if they want to go out, and they'd actually got past that point, so I tapped Karen on the shoulder, Karen Feakin, and I said, are you going today? And then, because no one had responded at the beginning, they decided they weren't going to go, so in fact, they didn't go, and that was probably about 3 months ago. And so it was just like a little decision that I made, really. It was not a kind of a big thing, but I had decided. So then when on Saturday last week, Karen emailed me, would I like to go? Then I just said yes, because I actually already made the decision 3 months ago. And actually then, it was a relatively easy thing to do. I felt comfortable going out with Karen. So we just were kind of worshipping, and then I wrote down whatever came into my head and we just went off and did it. But I think the thing for me is really that made it easy, in a sense, is at the end of the day, my value and how much God loves me is completely independent. And if I went, he still loves me. And if I didn't go, he still loves me. And actually, there's nothing in me that can tell a person, there's that wrong with you, you need prayer about that. There's only God can do that. And so it actually was quite liberating, and it was just, you know, I just did it, really.
Great, thank you very much. See, the point I want to make is that as we press into God, as we decide to actually not just sit and listen, but to actually get out and do something, because he's put it on our heart, then some extraordinary things can happen. Alison sitting down there, who's just walked 100 miles in training for her big current. She was working and making lots of money as a finance director or running a finance director company. And then she had the opportunity to halve her salary and get a job as finance director of Tier Fund. And quite why anyone would do that I don't know, but I haven't warned her, but I think she just wants, she's just going to tell you why she made that decision.
I made it because I felt God told me to do it, really quite clearly. But now I think it's so much more rewarding to save lives as opposed to making other people rich. So I don't know why I ever thought about it. It's wonderful. It's so much more rewarding. So yeah, I did it because God told me to do it. And I went kicking and screaming, I can tell you, but I did go there.
So I hope those three testimonies are an encouragement to you, because when I look around, I see some extraordinary people. I mean, all of you are extraordinary in different ways, but there's so much possibilities, so many possibilities and so much potential. Now, you might be asking me, why on earth did I get all the children screaming and all the adults screaming at the beginning of the service, wandering around making lots of noise? Well, it was quite interesting, actually, because I walked around a bit while I was screaming and waving my arms as well, to see who got involved and who didn't. And obviously, we all do different things because of our personality, but many of you got involved in screaming and shouting and waving your arms around. I've filmed it all. It's all going to be on YouTube. That's a joke. But the point I wanted to make is that God is a God of order. We're talking about pause, and a lot of us don't find pausing terribly easy because we have very busy lives and lots of responsibilities, and so we don't have an opportunity, really, to pause, or if we do, we don't give it a sufficiently high priority. Now, I think it's very interesting. I was going through the Bible, and I was reading Genesis 1 to 13, and I won't give you all of that, but I'll give you 1 and 2 from the Message. It says, "First this, God created the heavens and earth, all you see and all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness in inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke light, and light appeared. God saw that light was good and separated light from dark. God named the night day, he named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning, day one." And I was just so moved by that. You know, lots of people have different views about evolution and, you know, whether a lot of inert matter suddenly exploded or what happened. I mean, that's up to you to go before God and work out. But I like this idea. I see it as mushroom soup. I don't know if you ever made mushroom soup, but it's all sort of grey and sort of bits in it, and it, you know, you know how it bubbles like it is in a cauldron. So I can just see God sitting above this enormous mass of mushroom soup. And brooding. And, you know, that whole idea of brooding, you know, like hens sitting on eggs, just sort of brooding, waiting to see what's going to happen, you know, just brooding there. And then God says, "Let there be light." I mean, it's just amazing. And there was light. And then, I'm not going to get too into that, because I could get quite excited, but it's a question of, then there was morning, there was evening, day one. So God sits on this mushroom soup, the world's created, and then he basically, there's a period of time. There's morning, there's evening, the first day, and then he moves on to the second day. And the third day, and he goes through up to the seventh day. And it's very interesting, if you want to do a Bible study, if you go onto Google or BibleGateway.com, which is absolutely excellent, and you do a keyword search and you put the seventh day rest, you'll get a whole load of scriptures which is about the different people in the church at different times taking a rest on the seventh day. And I thought, that what a message to people today, to actually pause, to actually bring order to their lives. How many of you have ever had something really troubling you on your mind, and you go to bed, and in the middle of the night, you wake up? Yeah, most of you can picture it. You wake up and you have all sorts of different scenarios and that you're tossing and you're turning. I think we've got to try and discipline ourselves so that we build deliberate pauses into our lives so we can break that chain. There's no reason why the Bible would say necessarily there was morning and evening the first day, and then there's a whole lot of other things that happen progressively. It's just it's a message that runs throughout the Bible for the need for order, for the need for discipline in our lives and in our relationships with one another. A little later on, Moses was around, and he'd gone through all his Egypt experience, and he was leading the people of Israel. And they had disputes between them, and so they would come to him, and they would ask him to make the decision about what to do about the disputed area. If you want to read this in your quiet time, it's in Exodus 18. And his father-in-law, Jethro, came up to him and he said, "Look, Moses, you're running yourself ragged, mate. This just is not working." He said, "What you need to do is to teach people some specific laws or rules, and then you need to appoint people who are going to make the judgments on your behalf." And God obviously felt it was a good idea as well, because in Exodus 20, you get the Ten Commandments, where you've got some clear general rules so that people will know what's right, what's wrong. They'll be able to sort out their own problems, their own disputes, and it just makes the whole life easier. Later on, you read in Judges, there's a very interesting phrase in Judges. It said people did what they felt was right in their own eyes. And I think if you were making a comment about today, about the world today, that's what people do. They do what is right in their own eyes. But the result of that actually is chaos, because what some people think is right is clearly not. Other people, people say it's so different. So God raised up judges, and they helped people to understand what was right and what was wrong. So what was God doing in all of that? He was bringing order. He was bringing order to the communities. He's bringing order to individual people's lives. And I think that's what he wants to do for us. He wants to bring order to our lives. Now, obviously, we can help each other a lot. We help each other perhaps more when something major happens, but then there's a lot of help we can get when just ordinary life is happening. You know, there are so many people within this congregation who I have a real deep love for, just because you see the sort of people they are and you see what they do when they interact with one another, just the love and the encouragement that they give to one another. And I think if you looked around, you could see lots of people that you really respect, because that is what they do. And I think that is something that we can do for one another. But I think there's a lot we can do for ourselves. We've been talking about pausing, but I think deliberate pauses are a mental discipline. And I think it's a mental discipline that we need to decide we're going to adopt. So one looks at discipline. I mean, I don't know what you think. If I say discipline, what picture does that bring up in your mind? Maybe it's a parent teaching a child to clean their teeth and to say sorry and do things. That's one type of discipline. Other discipline is bringing correction. Eric over there used to run the boys' home at Finnamore Wood. And who was it earlier? I think John Sanderman was saying, "Oh, I know about that." So initially I thought, well, maybe John was actually at Finnamore Wood, but apparently not. He just knows somebody who was a doctor there. So, but, you know, we're bringing discipline into a situation. But then the greater discipline is the one that we all have to have. It's like an athlete who's in training. You know, you don't just become Usain Bolt or that guy who does the other thing with his hand. Yeah, that's right, Mo Farah. That just doesn't just happen. That's the result of discipline. And you are the Hussein Bolts and the Jessica Ennises of the Kingdom of God. And for you to be able to live a happy and straightforward life, you need to bring some discipline into that life. Jesus was very good at this. He was good at deliberate pauses. If you look at Matthew 14, verse 23, excuse me, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there." And so Jesus, despite this incredible ministry, despite the fact he probably knew he only had 3 years of sort of active telling people about it, he realized that despite all those pressures, it was important that he took some time out to be with his Father, to pray about the things that God had put on his heart. And so we need to bring these deliberate pauses into our own lives. And when I was thinking about this, I thought there are three, probably, main categories of deliberate pauses. There are corporate retreats. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Corporate retreats, there are personal retreats, and there are personal quiet times. Now, it's very difficult in a church like this. You've got some people, like Alistair, who've been Christians forever. I mean, and then you have other people who've become Christians much much more recently. So a lot of the things that the sage old men take as a matter of course, maybe people who haven't been Christians very long don't. And so if you come and you're preaching a sermon and you're trying to teach and you're trying to encourage and you're trying to enrich people, where do you actually place your sermon? And, you know, from my point of view, I want everyone here and everyone who becomes a Christian to have a really strong Christian life. And therefore, I would be prepared, actually, if I had to choose, who am I going to talk to? To talk to all the people who haven't been Christians for very long, because I want them to learn some of the secrets that we've learnt over the years so that they can live productive lives. I was at a corporate retreat recently in Colorado where YWAM had have a base. Nuala was on a team about 30 years ago where it was a Far East evangelism team, and they went all over Asia before they were really allowed to, I think, in China and Japan and Korea and all these different places. And they were a fanatical group of young people. They used to start each day by confessing all of their sins to one another because they did not want to have anything which will get in the way of the ministry for the rest of the day. Now, just be honest with yourself now. If you had to confess to somebody around here all the bad thoughts, all the bad attitudes, all the bad ideas you'd had over the last 24 hours, would you be embarrassed? Yeah? I mean, some of you august ladies, perhaps, would be able to do that. But, you know, most people would do things, think things, which, you know, they really are embarrassed. But they did this. And we listened while we were there because everyone was recounting the stories of the past and just remembering. And that's important. It's important that we remember the things of the past and the things that we've learned in the past. And they were sharing their lives and about how things had progressed since and some of the things they'd struggled with, some of the great things that had been happening. It was just a very, very special time. We were singing songs that you'd sing 30 years ago, and the Holy Spirit came down and touched people. I mean, it was just a really special, deep friendship time. And it made me think about corporate retreats generally. It's very, very important that we get involved, that we build these things into our lives. The kids have just been away on Soul Survivor, and Nathan and Mark and Ashley are just going to come up and they're going to share about why did they go and what are some of the highlights. They took time out. They disconnected from Facebook. I mean, this is radical stuff. They moved out of their normal scheme of activities because they wanted to have a time to press into God. So they're not going to talk for too long, so don't need to be worried about this, Mark. You can put your phone down. And Nathan, you've got lots to say, so you come up as well. Come on, I'll ask your questions if you want. Sorry. Oh, yeah, okay. Where is he? You're not here?
No.
Oh, okay, Nathan, you're not here, so that's right. So, Mark, you, please. Come on. So it's Johan. I was getting Johan and Nathan mixed up then. So Nathan's obviously not come because I asked him to do this. But he was in the car coming back from Soul Survivor. I know he had a great time. So Ashley, why did you go?
I don't know, actually. I had lots of reasons for going. I guess the main one was it was the last thing probably I would be doing with Edge and before I go off to uni. And I thought it'd be just a great experience because I went last year and I felt it was really useful, but I felt that throughout the last year I had a lot of other things I had to get through, and so Soul Survivor was a time for me to just chill and just be with God.
Great, thank you. And Mark, why did you go? You didn't want to go last year, so why did you want to go this year?
I don't really know. Even though being after Ashley to say why I wanted to go, it gives me a chance to think. And my answer is I was bored, I could say, so I wanted to go somewhere.
And we dragged him.
Okay, and was it a good experience for you? And if so, why?
Is it really a good question to ask? So obviously, I liked it, and it was really good.
And how did it benefit you, do you think?
No clue.
Okay, well, there we go. Mark was telling us lots of testimonies and telling us some stories about the things that people had taught him while he was there. And you had a good time with your friends, didn't you? Great. Thanks very much. But what I want to say from that is two things. One is I really want to encourage you this afternoon to go home, get your diaries out for the next 12 months, and plan in a deliberate corporate pause. Now, for younger people, there's Soul Survivor, there's Green Belt. What other things are there? Riverfest next year, so you can all come on that. What other events are there? New Wine, Spring Harvest, all right. Now, make a decision. You heard the stories earlier of people who made a decision to push into God. Make a decision to go on a corporate retreat next year. We may well go to Spring Harvest, I think. We're all going to go on the on Riverfest. But make a decision because it's important to you. Moving swiftly on, the issue of another type of retreats, just personal retreats. Where I know Colin Barnes does this. Before he took over River, he decided to go to the Lake District. He climbed up a mountain, sat on the mountain, and said, God, should I be doing this? Dave, I imagine, does a lot of personal retreats. You just decide to go away. You step out of the busyness of life, and you say, no, I'm going to take this time out to really push into God. And I want to encourage you also next year, put a date in your diary where you, either as a an individual or as a couple, perhaps, can go on a personal retreat and just really push into God and ask him what he wants you to do. All right, the last thing, and I will stop here, is the need to have daily pauses and have a daily quiet time, which means you sit down and you read the Bible and you spend some time praying. And you can set the amount of time you want to do that as you like. The longer you've been a Christian, the less you do this. Because you think, oh, I've read the Bible 4 or 5 times, you know, what else is there to do? And we just lack the discipline. I've read this reading through the Bible in a year, and I've done that a few times. And I've started reading now some books by William Barclay. And William Barclay is brilliant because he's a sort of straightforward theologian. He's deeply qualified and academic, but his books really speak to you. And if you download one onto your Kindle or wherever you read these things, it's really useful to actually make a discipline in your life to sit through and read a chapter of that every day. And it starts off with a scripture and it does an explanation. There's things like Every Day with Jesus that you can get, and other daily study guides. If you haven't read through the Bible, then you can go to online and you can get a 1-year Bible. I think initial starting place is probably the version, the New Living Bible, because it focuses more on the story than the deep theological getting the word just right. But I really recommend you to do it. And then make a list of the things you want to pray about. Actually write them out. And don't stop until you've gone from 1 to 10, if that's how many you put down. But it's building pauses into our lives. And then I think if we do that, we'll have a life in focus. You know, if you have a camera and you look through it and it's not focused, you turn the focus wheel and the picture comes into a sharp contrast. I think that's really what my heart is for all of you, is to have your life in sharp contrast. But to do that, you have to turn this deliberate pause focusing ring. Build into your life corporate retreats, personal retreats, and daily quiet times. And my wife has done what I asked her to do, which is that when it's time to stop. So I will. I do just want to pray for everybody, because I think it's important we understand that God is a God of order, that we do have to make a mental discipline like an athlete, and we need to be deliberate about building pauses into our lives. So let me just pray. Lord Jesus, we've done lots of different things this morning. We've been crazy walking around. We've been really touched and blessed by a time of worship where clearly you were with us, and we've heard about the need to be deliberate in taking time with you, to build pauses in our life so we're not just washed around. So, 5 years passes and we don't really know what happened during that period. So I pray for everybody here, whether they've been Christians for a long, long time and they've done all this before, or whether they haven't been Christians very long and don't know that these are the sort of disciplines we need to build in. I pray you'll touch each of us. And I pray as we do take a little bit of time later today, perhaps thinking, how should I apply this to my life? Lord, that you'll show them and you'll lead them on. Pray for the older people, Lord, particularly. Sometimes we think we've got to pass on the torch, but you're not talking about us passing on torches to the younger generation. You're talking about us lighting their torches and then running along with them. And I pray you'll enable us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good stuff.